Amen. Hey, can we welcome all those online right now? Welcome everyone online. We love you guys, our brothers and sisters in Christ, all around the world. Love you. Have a seat, please. My name is Nathan, one of the pastors here at RCC, and I tell you what, that was amazing worship. Can we give God the praise again? That's just, praise his name forever. You know, it's amazing all how God is moving our church and in all kinds of situations. And we had a baptism Sunday. And then last week, we had a little mini baptism Sunday. I want you to notice on the screen right here, we have two people got baptized last week, Jack and Evan. Can we give God the praise for Jack and Evan's commitment to Christ? Jack, great story. His wife was baptized here a couple weeks ago, and he reached out to us. He says, hey, I'm getting baptized, but here's the thing. Don't tell my wife I'm doing it. And so he showed up, and he told his wife the morning of that he was going to get baptized. Isn't that cool? And so that's a great Christmas gift right there. And on top of that, Evan's a main leader. He's baptized, and he's back there changing little Evan, and all of a sudden he tells his mom why he's changing from being all wet, from being baptized. He says, you know, Mom, I want to work at RCC one day. That's what he... So I think that's pretty cool, and it's just neat hearing those stories, how God is moving in people's hearts, and so we have a 97, 98 right there, people being baptized. We have actually another baptism happen today, number 99 for the year, right here, getting baptized during our second service. So I know 100's out there somewhere, all right, before the year ends, excited how God's moving once again. I want to encourage you with this right here. We have these cards we're handing out, and it says on the front, it says, something unexpected to show you that God loves you. That's what we're doing for people. We're passing these out. You see an idea right there. Somebody from RCC went ahead and left a bigger tip. I saw somewhere else where somebody got a whole bunch of gift cards at Springs Coffee, and they were going to pass them out and let them know, you know what? Something unexpected, right? These are random acts of kindness. Now, we're just going about our day, and then all of a sudden, people are being blessed by you to show them that God loves them. Because, well, here's the thing about Christmas, and you know this, it's a very lonely time of year. And so when you can be a conduit of God's blessing to someone, man, you have no idea how much that impacts them and lets them know that God really does love them and God's aware of what's going on in their life. And so here's a great thing about this. It's random acts of kindness, but if you flip the card around, you will see it's an invitation to our Christmas Eve services. And I cannot wait. It's the best day of the year, Christmas Eve. And I tell you what, we have four services. We have a 1:30 service, a 3 o'clock, 4:30, and a 6 o'clock service. I'm encouraging you, hey, spread the word. Bring your friends, bring your family, but do those random acts of kindness. And I want to share you a story with someone who did something this past week, and we're going to give you these cards. We made 3,000 of them, so we want hundreds and hundreds of random acts of kindness happen every single week through RCC. Can you imagine the impact of that? Hundreds and hundreds of acts of kindness, random acts of kindness. Well, here's one of them right here. And someone sent a message to us, said this, hey, I just want to share with you a story. I ran into Green Cove Springs, Winn-Dixie, for one item. I like that, one item. Just went in for one item. And I handed this younger lady ringing me up at the counter a gift card to Starbucks with this card right here. It says, something unexpected to show you that God loves you. Something unexpected happened to her. When she glanced down at it, her whole face lit up. She said, I get my food from RCC. I eat meals there every single Thursday night. Please tell them thank you for me. It has been such a blessing in my life. I love the food and appreciate all they have done for me. Please tell them. Isn't that awesome right there? Isn't that awesome? So that's why RCC is here. We want to show people the love of God in our community. And it's amazing seeing that traction and that momentum really start gaining some steam in our community. And so you can be a part of that with this one tool right here. And we're going to give you some of these cards on your way out the door. We're right now in our daily Bible reading, and we're wrapping up. We're in the book of Acts. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and go to Acts. You have, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the fifth book is Acts in the New Testament. And let me tell you a story. Pastor Anthony talked about roller coasters last week, if you remember in his communion talk. And I thought about roller coasters. And, you know, one thing about amusement parks is when you show up in an amusement park, you know, you always hear the roller coaster and the screamers. Have you noticed that? Like, you hear the screamers and the roller coasters. And you know, screamers, you can't tell when you're showing up, is that a 60-pound little girl screaming, or is that a 260-pound man who screams like a girl? You don't know. But some people are just screamers, right? You know, that's just the reality. And then on the other hand, you have people who just yell. Like, I call them the wee people. Wee people. They're like, wee. I mean, they're like, yeah, this is great. Like, they're in the zone. They were made for roller coasters. And then you kind of have the tweeners. You have the people that are kind of unsure, and they've weighed the cost, and there's a reasonable expectation of a positive outcome, right? And so they're kind of getting on it, and they're not really sure, but they're having somewhat of a good time. So let me ask a question right now. How many of you guys are like screamers? Raise your hand if you're screamers. Go ahead. You guys don't like it, raise your hand too. Screamers. Okay. How about tweeners? You're not really sure, but you get on there and you kind of have a good time. You're kind of tweeners. How about wee people? Man, you just love being on a roller coaster. You're having the time of your life, all right? All right, so we got a pretty good balance of all three groups here. Now, in the past, when I would get in a roller coaster, and you start going up that big first hill, right? You start clanging up, and I just start doing some self-help talk when I do that. Like, I start going, you know what? There's smart people who designed this. There's engineers who are competent, and they kind of put it together. Maintenance people who know what they're doing. Thousands of people have been on this roller coaster this whole day, just this day alone, and no one's died. So I just kind of do that, and then once I go through that kind of rhythm and method, then I get to the very peak, and when I fall off, I'm kind of like, woo, I'm all in, I'm having a great time. So I would get on this roller coaster, and it's interesting, one time, and I know this is kind of shocking, I was not near as compassionate as I am now at one point in my life. And Six Flags in Georgia, where I lived at, or went to high school at, had just opened up a roller coaster called the Viper many, many years ago. And we stood in line for 2 hours. 2 hours to ride this line, ride that lasted like, you know, 30 seconds, right? So 2 hours, we finally get to the front, me and my two buddies, and all of a sudden, I'm like, you guys, y'all sit together, I'll sit behind you. And I'm sitting there by my seat, and all of a sudden, this guy comes in and sits next to me, and they kind of clamp things down, and we're sitting there. And you ever been around someone, and you're not sure if they want to be there? You know what I'm talking about? I know this guy was like that because he told me, I don't know if I should be here. That's what he said. And so all of a sudden, he's getting nervous, and the thing hasn't even gone yet, and it just kind of bumps a little bit. And I heard him say all of a sudden, he said, oh, dear Lord. That's what he said. I'm like, nothing's happened. I mean, nothing's happened yet. And so all of a sudden, we start going up, right? And he made a bad, terrible mistake as we were heading up, that, you know, getting ready to go to the first drop, as we're heading up, all of a sudden, he made a terrible mistake, and that was he looked down. You know, when you look down, things always seem a lot further. Like, you seem like you're a lot higher when you're looking down than looking up, don't they, right? And so he looked down. He thinks he's thousands of feet in the air. And all of a sudden, he just yelled out, oh, dear Mother of Mary, we're going to die. That's what he said. I'm not sure how Mother Mary was going to help him, but anyway, he's calling out to her. And so we're heading up there, and we're getting kind of close to the top. And I'm just, you know, I'm a smart aleck, and so I decided to kind of have fun, make sure my friends heard me. I said, hey, brother, do you know Jesus? And he's like, what? You know, and all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, do you know Jesus? And he's like, I said, because we're about to meet him. And immediately we went straight down, dropped off. I'm not very compassionate, I'm sorry. But anyway, and so I'm screaming because I'm having the time of his life. He's screaming for his life, right? And so there's two different reactions, right? But I want you to hear me, the same circumstance. Like, it's the same roller coaster, same car, same contraption, same engineers, same maintenance people, same hills, same drops, same twists, same turns, but two different responses. And my question is why is that? Why is that? Well, you know, screamers, they think us wee people are nuts. They think, like, we're just not in the know, right? But I believe the difference is perspective. I think the screamers haven't taken the time to think about the truth surrounding the roller coaster. They've forgotten about it, maybe. The wee people know there's a reasonable expectation of a positive outcome. And I think in many ways, that represents our lives. Like, we are on this crazy roller coaster ride, especially Christmas season, really kind of kind of amplifies how crazy the ride is. I mean, we would love a life to go smooth, right? We would love a life without twists and turns. Raise your hand if you would love your life to go just as you planned it. Raise your hand. All right, you guys align, like all of us. I have my plans. I want things to go smoothly. That's what we want. But as they say, life is what happens while you are making plans, right? Life is what's happening while you're making plans. And we all would love life to be uneventful and go just as we planned it. We all love a life with no construction zones and no accidents and no car problems. We love a life with no traffic jams. We all would love smooth sailing when it comes to the circumstances of our lives. But none of us are guaranteed a life of smooth sailing. None of us are guaranteed a story with no difficult chapters. Sooner or later, you and I are going to have to come to a greater revelation of a God who works within our present circumstances. So speaking of smooth sailing and uneventful trips, we're going to read a story today. And if you're an action guy like me, you like action movies, all right? Not really into love stories very much. I like action. Man, this is your kind of chapter we're about to read right now. But this is anything but smooth sailing. So let me kind of give you some context we're about to read. The book of Acts closes out with a story of Paul. He is en route to Rome. And he's taken a series of ships to get there. And what's interesting is none of this is smooth sailing for Paul. He spent 2 years before we're about to read under Roman guard. He's been in prison for 2 years. The Jews are trying to get the Romans to dispose of him, but they can't because Paul's a Roman citizen. So you can't just get rid of people that are Roman citizens because they have rights. And so, making a long story short, Paul's case is brought up to the chain of command before he finally is allowed to make his appeal to Caesar, the biggest, baddest guy in all the world in Rome. It's a serious situation for Paul, yet his opportunity to speak to the most powerful man on the planet, guess what? About Jesus. So he boards his ship, and this ship is anything but smooth sailing. And so we pick up here with Paul and 275 other people boarding a ship. And it's going to set sail from port to port through the Mediterranean all the way to Rome. That's the game plan. So let's go ahead. If you have your Bibles, or you can look at the screen right here, starting Acts chapter 27. We're going to dig in some scripture and look what happens. Verse 13, when a gentle wind began to blow, and I love how this starts off because we love life to be this way. Like, okay, things look good. I think things are going to be smooth. I think today's going to go well. That's how we think things. My week's starting off really gentle. South wind began to blow. They saw their opportunity. The sailors did. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But very long, look at this, a wind of what, church? A wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster. Swept down from the island, the ship was caught up by the storm and could not head into the wind. And so we gave way to it and were driven along. Look how bad this was. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. Now raise your hand if you get seasick, all right? Raise your hand if you get seasick. You guys are getting seasick reading this, all right? I mean, this is, I can't imagine being in this situation and on the ship with 275 other people. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. With neither sun nor stars. Now, by the way, that kind of bums me out. I have to have the sun. I always kind of live as close to the equator as I possibly can for a reason, okay? No sun, no stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. And look at this. We finally gave up. Like, they're hopeless. Gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul before them and said, he's a prisoner, look at this, he says, men, you should have taken my advice. Who loves it when someone tells you, I told you so? Don't you love it when your spouse tells you that, or a parent, I told you so? That's what he's basically saying here. You should have taken my advice. I told you so, not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves the damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage because, look at this, none of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. And here's what he says. He talks about a vision. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, look at these words, read with me, Do not be afraid. That's the most often command given in the Bible. We see it right here in the story. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, Paul says. He says, for I have, look at this, I have faith in God that it'll happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island somewhere. On the 14th night, this is going on for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. And just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. He says, man, for the last 2 weeks, man, think about that. That's stressful. You want to talk, when you get stressed out, a hormone is released in you called cortisol. And some people in America, like, we just live off of it. It ages you. And one thing you don't do when you have cortisol, when you're just running with stress, is you don't eat. These guys haven't eaten. They're stressed out of their living minds. He says, last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. And Paul, a prisoner, is now coaching them. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. That must be nice if you have hair to know that, all right? After he had said this, he took some bread. And look at this, he gave thanks. That's what Jesus would often do. He would give thanks, even in crazy situations, just like Paul's doing. He's doing just like Jesus. He gave thanks to God in front of them all, and then he broke it, and he began to eat. And look at this. They were all encouraged. These guys were all encouraged after all they'd been through and ate some food themselves. Altogether, it was 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain out into the sea. But the ship all of a sudden struck a sandbar, ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move. And the stern from the back end was broken to pieces by the pounding of the waves, by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers, this is panic. Pandemonium. The soldiers plan to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. They're about to slaughter a whole bunch of people, but the centurion wanted to spare, look at this, he wanted to spare Paul's life. That's how much clout, that's how much of a leader Paul was to them, and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered them, those who could swim, to jump out overboard first and get to land. Once safely on shore, he found out that the island was called Malta. Now the islanders, they're on the island now. Isn't it crazy? They're on the island. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. That's what I hope RCC can do, is we show our community unusual kindness. They built a fire, welcomed us all because it was raining and it was cold. Paul, trying to be helpful, gathered a pile of brushwood and he put it on the fire. Look at this, a viper. A viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul, like Rambo or Chuck Norris, shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said, well, he was a what? He was a god. They thought he was he was supposed to be killed by the gods. Now they think he's a god. There was an estate, though, nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us, I love this, generous hospitality for 3 days. Now, his daddy was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him after prayer, placed his hands on his dad, on Publius' dad, and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. Now, it's interesting. Let me give you some cliff notes here real quick before we continue on. You have to know this has all happened after 2 years of being in prison. After 2 years of being in prison, he's supposed to make his way to Caesar in Rome to preach. He's going to preach the gospel to Caesar. And so they put him on a ship. He gets caught up in a storm for 2 weeks, hurricane force winds. Then he endures a shipwreck, and then he winds up at some island, and it's cold and it's rainy, and then he wants to build a fire, and he's taking some brush to the fire, and also when he's putting the brush in the fire, a snake comes out and bites him, talking about no good deed goes unpunished, right? I mean, he's trying to do a good thing. It doesn't bite anyone else. It bites Paul. Then after him being bit by a snake, he has to put up with the opinions of people who decided they know what the gods are doing in that moment. All right? And then they think he's a murderer. And next thing you know, they say, you know what? He's not a murderer. Now he's a god. And then he ends up staying on an island for 3 months, surrounded by sick people who keep coming to him to be cured. This is not smooth sailing, my friends. Paul knows there's a God who can work within his present circumstances, and you can learn a lot about God by watching Paul and how he operates in his circumstances. There's 4 takeaways with you this morning I hope that you take to heart. Number 1 is this: God working all circumstances is often revealed through less than ideal circumstances. God working all circumstances, we say that, is often revealed through less than ideal circumstances. They're in a 3-day storm. 3 days, they start throwing stuff overboard. They had no idea they had 11 more days to go. That's a less than ideal circumstance. And of course, this drama, Paul stands out, starts giving direction, and people listen to him. He's a prisoner. And all 275 people on board listen to him. He says, listen, guys, I'm going to tell you a story. An angel came to me last night and said, do not be afraid. You are going to stand trial before Caesar. God has graciously given your life and all the lives of all the people on the ship. And then Paul encouraged them. He said, keep up your courage. He says, I have faith in God that it'll happen just as the angel told me. Nevertheless, we're going to run aground on some island. First off, why would anyone on that ship listen to a prisoner? Well, here it is. They're desperate. They're totally desperate, and they don't think they're going to survive. God reveals himself often in less than ideal circumstances. Don't you think it was a powerful witness that when all those people survived, they remember, they look back for the rest of their life, what Paul said in the middle of that storm. And what he said came to pass. Everyone survived. Don't you think that that made a difference in their life? God will often work in less than ideal circumstances. What about when Paul is trying to build a fire and gets bit by a viper? That's a less than ideal circumstance. And yet he doesn't get sick and he doesn't die. Our God will work in all circumstances, but often revealed most in less than ideal circumstances. How about Publius's dad? All of a sudden he gets sick and his dad has a fever and dysentery. That's a less than ideal circumstance, but yet God makes him well through Paul. How about when all the sick of the island come to Paul? Can you imagine that scene? I mean, everyone knows where Paul lives, right? They know where he's staying. All the people just keep coming to him to be cured for 3 months, yet Paul heals them all. Our God, who works in all circumstances, revealed often most in less than ideal circumstances. Number 2, God is the point. God is the point and not my circumstances. God is the point, not my circumstances. Now confession time for Nathan Freeman here. All too often in my life, let me be honest with you. All too often in my life, I make the point of my life making sure that my circumstances go as smoothly as possible. I want my circumstances to be marked as much as possible with smooth sailing. That too often has been the point of my life. I want to get to my destination as smoothly as possible. One thing I've noticed about me is when I'm trying to do the right thing, when I'm trying to go the right direction and get to the right destination on behalf of God, I tend to think, therefore, that I am entitled to smooth sailing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to do the right thing. I think things should go my way because I'm trying to do the right thing. I don't know about you, but if I encountered hurricane force winds, a 14-day storm, a viper bite, 3-month delay on an island filled with a bunch of sick people who keep coming after me looking for help, I doubt I would be as steady for the glory of God that Paul was. I don't have a problem believing that God is powerful enough to come through all of my circumstances. My problem is I have a problem with God working in my circumstances when it comes to my priorities. I don't know if I would have fared as well as Paul did. Sometimes my circumstances are higher on the priority list than my God is, if I'm honest. Sometimes my circumstances are a bigger deal to me than my God. And here's how I know that. Here's how I know it. My attitude. My attitude. How my attitude responds when my circumstances don't go the way I want them to. But God is a point of all life and not my circumstances. Listen to me. You were not created for smooth sailing. You were created for God. Amen. You were created for God, and God is most often clearly seen in our storms, in your storms, in my storms. God often uses you most effectively in the middle of the storms. And so often I've told myself in my life, hey, when I get to my destination, you know, when I get to Rome, when I reach my goal, when I realize my dream, I'm going to seize that moment for God. I'm going to seize that moment when I'm in Rome. I'm going to seize that moment in front of Caesar. That's when I'm going to seize the moment for God. Now listen, God doesn't want to just be glorified by you when you get to your destination. He wants to be glorified along the way to your destination, right? He doesn't want to just be glorified when you show up. He wants to be glorified along the journey. And that's what you see in Paul, that God is a point and not his circumstances. Number three, sometimes God transforms our circumstances. Sometimes he does. I mean, we pray about that. That's why we have those connect cards. That's why we believe in the power of prayer. God oftentimes will transform your circumstance. You see that with Paul being healed, right? You go, somebody go, well, Paul was healed. That's right. He transformed his circumstances. Publius' dad was healed. That's right. God transformed and healed his circumstances. But I want you to hear me. Notice this. God didn't spare Paul from the hurricane. God didn't spare Paul from the shipwreck. God didn't spare Paul from the poor judgment of the sailors who decided to set sail when they should not have been sailing. God didn't spare Paul from the viper. God didn't spare Paul from the 3 months stay on island. God didn't spare Paul from the rain and the cold and all the sick people on that island. This story is powerful because it's a miracle within it, but I want you to hear me. It wasn't always the miracles that Paul wanted. It wasn't always a miracle. Like, I want this miracle, God. And God's like, no. You're going to get this one over here. There's a story that illustrates two powerful things. There are times when God will transform circumstances. That's illustrated by the healings of Paul and Publius' dad. And I get to see that oftentimes. I get a front row seat seeing God heal people and through the power of Jesus and transform their circumstances. And it's just amazing. That's why, well, once again, we encourage you every single week to fill out those prayer cards. You guys online, fill out that request prayer button. We love to pray for you because we see God transform circumstances. But let me tell you the other side of this. There are other times when God doesn't change our circumstances, but he enables us to transcend our circumstances. Amen. There's times when he oftentimes enables us to transcend our circumstances when they're not transformed. And listen to me, friends. So often we pray to God for him to bring about the kind of circumstance we want. I want this, God. I want this situation. I want this relationship. I want this financial, you know, environment. I want this job. While he, in the meantime, God is trying to bring about the kind of people he wants. Like, God, I want this circumstance to change. And God's like, no. I want you to be molded. I'm trying to bring about the person that I want you to be. There are times when you have prayed and you have prayed and you have prayed and you have prayed and you have prayed about a circumstance and it's not changing. And maybe you need to open yourself up to the reality. Maybe in this case, God is not after producing the circumstances that I want, but he's after producing the me that he wants. Does that make sense? Maybe he's not after producing the circumstance I want, but he's after producing the me that he wants. And when God doesn't change my circumstance, I can be quite confident God is looking to change me and changing others through me as they notice how I respond to my circumstance. Because I just want you to know, people are watching you. And they're wondering, does this person's faith really make a difference as they go through the circumstance they're going through? Or is it just a faith that they have on Sundays when they sing songs to God, but really doesn't act out when circumstances don't go their way? Like, they're watching your faith. And they're wondering, really, what do you believe? And the only way they know that is by watching you walk through those twists and turns. Which leads to the final point when it comes to life looking for smooth sailing. Number four is this: God empowers me to be his person in the middle of my storm. I love that. God empowers me through the Holy Spirit to be his person in the middle of my storm. Doesn't it strike you odd that Paul, a prisoner, is leading this ship in the midst of the storm? Though he's a prisoner, he takes charge of the ship during the storm. He encourages the soldiers over him. He tells them to eat. He tells them what to do next to survive the storm. And though he winds up on an island for 3 months, even though this was not on his itinerary, right? He prays for the sick and proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ there. There are miracles all in this story, but none of them involve taking Paul out of the wild ride that he is on. There are hurricanes, and there's shipwrecks, and there's poisonous snakes, and there's 3 months stay on an island. All this after 2 years in prison. And all the while, Paul makes the most of his circumstances. He's being God's person in the midst of his circumstances. And I believe when Paul pulled out of port and he's heading to Rome, he had no idea. He had no idea he was going to plant a church on an island called Malta on his way there. He had no idea he was going to plant a church. You see, people see God when they see how we respond to God in the midst of our circumstance. They will see God how they see when they see you respond to your circumstance. And I'm going to tell you what, we all want a story with no difficult chapters, right? We all want a story that's smooth sailing. We all do. But twists and turns take our stories often where they need to go. So here's what you do. You might as well go ahead and learn to give God editorial control. Go ahead right now and surrender the pen of your life and hand it over to God and allow him to write your story. So often we want to control the narrative. We want to control our story. And I'm telling you right now, oftentimes the twists and turns direct it where it needs to go, because he has a way of bringing an incredible story out of some difficult twists and turns in our lives. Amen. And I tell you what, it's amazing. I mean, I'm standing right here before you today because of difficult twists and turns. God brings about the story that he needs to write, not the story that Nathan needs to write. I think about a guy named Michael Judge. I saw this photo at a friend of mine's band. He was part of the Southeast Navy band. By the way, musicians that we have in our military are phenomenal. And hey, by the way, good job, Navy, yesterday. All right, congratulations to Navy out there. And I love the Army. My grandfather was in the Army, all right? So I love the Army guys, too. But you know, what's interesting is I was there watching the Navy band, and while they're performing, this image showed up on the screen. And I was taken back by the musicianship, and I was taken back by this image. And so I went home, and I did some research on it, and looking at this guy and being dragged out of the rubble of 9/11. He was a Franciscan priest, and he served the New York Fire Department for 10 years as a chaplain, was part of the fire department family. He lived across the street from Ladder 24 Firehouse. And whenever emergency was called upon, Michael Judge, the priest, was there to pray with people impacted by a fire. On the morning of 9/11, he put on his fireproof uniform and raced towards the towers. And it was in the midst of trying to help people at the towers that he was hit by falling debris of the next tower. And this well-loved priest who administered to countless people, from firemen to drug addicts who've been to Ireland 3 times to try to keep the talks of reconciliation going between the Protestants and the Catholics, this beloved priest was now gone in an instant. His death certificate bore the number 1 on it, as his body was the first to be released from ground zero. And on his body was found a prayer that he had written years earlier. And this prayer has been known now, has been called now as Michael's Prayer. And I want to share this with you real quick. Here's what the prayer that was found in his body says. It says this: Lord, take me where you want me to go, and let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say. And I love this. Keep me out of your way. Isn't that good? Let me say it again. He said, Lord, you take me where you want me to go. Lord, you have editorial control over my life, over my story. You write the chapters. You write the twists and turns. Lord, let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say. And here's the big one. Keep me out of your way. Now that is someone who knows that God is in control and not your circumstances. It's no wonder that he was so free to not be ruled by fear on 9/11, but rather was willing to be God's person in the midst of the chaos. And I love many people who understand that we're not created for smooth sailing, but rather we are created for God. And that's why at times he transforms your circumstances, and other times he enables you to transcend your circumstances. Either way, you need to know that God is greater than your circumstances. So take heart, because guess what? God is the point of your life and my life, and not our circumstances. We were not created for smooth sailing. We were created for God. He is the God who's often most seen in the storms. Amen, church? And people are watching us, and may we reveal to them who God is. Maybe you're in a circumstance right now in your life, and I know I'm talking to many of you this Christmas. You're in a situation right now, you've had some twists and turns come out of nowhere. Unexpected twists. And if anything, I know my character's often developed in that storm. And the journey's going differently than maybe you thought it would. And maybe you moved here and you thought it was going to go this way. Or you got in this relationship and you thought this was going to happen. Or this job. And you wound up on an island you didn't intend to wind up on. You've got hit by things you didn't see coming. But you are where you are. And when I would ask this, I would ask that you allow us to pray over you, because we believe in the power of prayer that it will transcend circumstances. But hear me. We also believe in the power of prayer that it'll transcend us. It'll change us. It'll move us in the direction that God wants us to go. We ask for God to open up your eyes for how he wants to use you right in the middle of your storm. Asking God to transform your circumstances, but more importantly, I think this, to give you eyes to see how he's transforming you in the midst of your circumstances. Maybe today you're in the middle of a storm and you realize the only thing that doesn't move is a rock called Jesus Christ, and you want to build your life on a rock, just like Jack, just like Evan, just like Samantha's going to do today, just like others have done. Maybe you need to make that move. Let us know. Fill out that connect card. Come up here, talk to our prayer team. You guys online, hit the request prayer button. Make that move today and build your life on a rock. Everything around you is going to change. The only thing that doesn't change is Jesus Christ. Amen. And whatever storm you're in, whatever twists and turns come, I want you to know the one thing and the only thing that doesn't change is Jesus. So build your life on him. Will you please stand? Let's go to God in prayer. I want to pray over you right now. Father God, there are people in this room. There are people online. There are people who are listening to this message, maybe even years from now. And Lord, they're in a circumstance that they didn't see coming. They've been in a storm, not for 14 days, but Lord, they've been in a storm for 14 months, 14 years. And Lord, we're asking you right now to change and transform their circumstance. Lord, we're asking you right now to come and move in a powerful way. We believe in the power of prayer. We've seen it work again and again and again and again. And Lord, praying for that to happen. But Lord, my biggest prayer is this. That even if the circumstances don't change, that you transform us. That you enable us to share your light and your truth and your grace and your love right here in the midst of the storm. Lord, use us, and may we not get the glory, but may you get the glory, because we are building our life on the rock, Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm praying right now for those who've never made that move as well. Lord, I'm praying for them to take that next step and say, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to confess that he is Lord and Savior of my life. I need to repent. I need to give my life all in and be baptized. Lord, I pray they'll take that step, Lord, and they'll build their life on the only thing that won't move, and that is your Son and his love, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this all in the name of Jesus, and everyone says, amen. If we could be a blessing to you, won't you make that way right now? We got our prayer team up here. We got crosses on your right and your left. You guys, we got the request prayer button. Won't you make that move? And let's lift your situation, your storm up right now to Jesus Christ. And let's worship him together. Amen. Let's give God the glory.